When the song Call Me Maybe became a hit in 2012, it didn't seem like we'd still be talking about Carly Rae Jepsen a decade later. But here we are.
In these last few years, Jepsen has become a full-blown pop star, thanks to well-received albums like Emotion and Dedicated. And now she's back with a new record. I'm Aisha Harris.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. Today we are talking about Carly Rae Jepsen's new album, The Loneliest Time, on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us today from NPR Music is Lars Gotrich. Welcome back, Lars.
Hey, it's nice to see y'all.
It is great to see y'all, too. Very excited about this one. As I noted at the top, Carly Rae Jepsen first broke through with the inescapable and, in my mind, unimpeachable banger, Call Me Maybe, back in 2012. That song was featured on her album Kiss, but Jepsen didn't show real signs of staying power until her follow-up album Emotion came out in 2015. That record and 2019's Dedicated are both stuffed with sumptuous pop jams. Now Carly Rae Jepsen is back with a new album called The Loneliest Time, which mixes hard-driving pop with breezy ballads, and it even has a disco duet with Rufus Wainwright. The album was released last week. Aisha Harris, my dear friend, and Carly Rae Jepsen superfan, I'm going to start with you. What do you think of The Loneliest Time?
I don't know if I would call myself I guess I am a super fan. I've loved her.
Aisha, you're a super fan.
Yes, I am. Okay, fine. Well, I feel like in order to do that, you have to like know a lot of things about maybe the person who you are a super fan of. But I feel like one of the things that I love about Carly Rae Jepsen is that I don't really know much about her personal life, and my connection to her is like purely through the music. Mm-hmm. And so when I approach The Loneliest Time, it's kind of been put out here as sort of a divergence from previous Carly records in that it gets a little bit darker in some ways, although I feel like she's always had an edge to her music. And I liked that, and I think that I like it for this moment. Now, do I think that it has as many bops as Emotion or Dedicated? No. She's swinging for different fences, and I don't know if the ball goes over the fence. The one that comes to mind for me is Go Find Yourself or Whatever, which Carly is kind of going into this like sad guitar Carly. I felt like she was trying to do a little bit of John Mayer, and I was like, I don't want that from you, Carly. She does get emotional, and I think my favorite song on the album so far after listening to it just a few times is Bends. It's just got this really kind of melancholy to it, but also the things that we love about Carly and the way she can sort of express feelings and emotions. And I'm just using feeling and emotions a lot because that's just the first thing that comes to mind when I think of Carly. But to be honest, I'm still absorbing this record. I think that there are so many songs that I can see myself going back to over and over like I have with Emotion and Dedicated. But then there's a couple that like I'm not too crazy about. But overall, I'm not disappointed by this. I think this is exactly what I want right now. And if this is where she's at right now, I'm with her all the way.
Nice. All right. How about you, Lars?
So we talked about Call Me Maybe at the beginning of the show. And Stephen, you were there to witness my transformation. I was but a mid-20-something who only cared about punk metal and weird sounds that would my coworkers would question my taste as it spilled out of my headphones. And then Call Me Maybe happened, and it lit something inside me that I had forgotten was there. Like, it took me back to my childhood bedroom with Star 94 on the boombox, listening to Shania Twain and TLC and Sophie B. Hawkins.
Yes.
And you loved Amy Grant.
Yes.
Don't forget
yes.
Amy Grant.
and it brought me back to this person who was sort of ashamed because all my friends were listening to Nirvana and Green Day. And here I was like, yeah, but Sophie B. Hawkins is really cool.
I mean, no falsehoods found here.
No falsehoods. And so Call Me Maybe brought me back to that person and kind of like reignited my love for pop music in a way that I really wasn't expecting. And the thing that was so powerful about that song was that, yes, it was bubbly, but it was substantive. And it was something that I forgot that pop music could be. And from that moment on, Carly has both met and exceeded Call Me Maybe. Even though she's never had like another big hit like Call Me Maybe, her songs have proven her medal, so to speak. So I'm always kind of like chasing that high, and she consistently shows us that she is a very smart, but still very silly songwriter. And to jump off of what Aisha said, is that she is a songwriter that not only understands our emotion, but sees it. And she can name them in very nuanced and small ways that don't feel big or brash, but they feel like she has lived them. And so when I get to the loneliest time, those little nuances that I loved from those pop songs, they feel more explicit than they do implicit. That the tiny little nuances and the curly cues that she works into her songs felt a little bit more standard. And I never fault a pop songwriter for wanting to make something that is going to go wider. I really don't. But the thing that I'm having a tough time with the loneliest time is that the lyrics seem a little straighter. The emotions feel a little more right on their face instead of the thing that made me fall in love with their songs. And this crushes me. I need this to be said. Like,
you're having the loneliest time.
I'm having the loneliest time right here. So I'm here in this place where there are some moments that I think are brilliant and fun and showcase new avenues for Carly to explore. And then there are moments where, like you, Aisha, where I'm like, it just feels a little flat, but I feel the flatness maybe harder than I should.
I think I come down a little hotter on this record than you do, Lars. I pretty much love it. I think it peters out a little bit toward the end, but I think the songwriting throughout is really strong. I mean, I can't say that Call Me Maybe reignited my love of pop music. I think Kelly Clarkson probably did that before Call Me Maybe came along. But Call Me Maybe shook me to my core. And I remember talking about the song on All Songs Considered and describing how like car rides had been taken over to where I could break down any car ride based on the number of Jepson units it took to get from one place to another because of how many times I would play Call Me Maybe in consecutive order in the car. Nothing she's done since has quite shook me quite as hard as that song did, but I do think she is an extremely consistently strong and smart songwriter. It's interesting, Aisha, you kind of said up front like how she's a little bit unknowable. She's a little bit unknowable, but I find her so approachable. Mm-hmm. Her songs are always approachable. Like I loved the album Dedicated from a few years back, but never really picked it back up. And I was recently on a car ride and put it on, and every song had never left my brain.
Dude, Want You in My Room? I love that song so much. Like the melodies on that album are fantastic.
And I remember loving that record when it came out, like really, really responding to it, but not picking it up again. And I feel like this record is going to have kind of that same quality where there are a few songs that I felt are true standouts. We're going to talk about our favorite songs in a minute. But throughout, there are these hooks. I've listened to it a bunch of times in the car and I can feel these songs taking up residence in my brain where they will be very, very easily accessed months and years from now. I hear what you're saying, Lars, about maybe a little bit of a flatness. Maybe she's gotten so consistent in her songwriting that there aren't quite as many peaks and valleys, but I still think the highlights of this record are gorgeous.
I mean, here's something I said to Marissa LaRusso, our esteemed colleague, because we saw Carly Rae Jepsen at the Anthem not too long ago here in DC. And afterward, I was just like, Carly Rae Jepsen doesn't write a bad song. Even the songs I don't like that much, they're great. Like it's just like, these are just facts. And the thing that I noticed, especially in that performance, which by the way, if you can see Carly on this tour, it's the best I've ever seen her.
Seeing her in 2 days as of this recording. So excited.
It is.
It'll be my third time.
She has upped the production. The set lists are really fun. But the thing that like I found useful in that performance was how she wove in the new songs from this record. But in the context of the performance, it gave space for her bangers to breathe a bit. That is certainly a way that a songwriter can approach writing their songs, like thinking about how it works in the context of their work, instead of just by themselves on these albums. Because the truth is, even though I came down a little negative at the beginning there, I'm still making up my mind about this record. So
we're in the same place.
Oh, good, good. It's nice to have solidarity in this confusing and trying time.
Well, I'm not filing it quite as torturous as you are. But,
to ease Lars along on his path to acceptance. Let's talk about our favorite songs on this record. Aisha, what's your favorite song on this record?
Ben's is definitely, it's my favorite. But then as I was thinking about it more just now, I was like, wait, is it? Again, we're going through so many levels and processes right now. I think one of my other favorite songs, though, is definitely Far Away. This is another song that feels very emotion era, but it still feels a little bit different sonically than some of her other songs. Let's actually play a little clip of it because I just want you to hear, again, how good she is at melody and just crafting really addictive earworms. This is a song that I want to learn the lyrics to as soon as possible and sing at karaoke. I'm also like envisioning when I am seeing her live soon, I can see this being like the, we're going to wave our cell phones in the air and we're all singing in harmony. It has that sort of 80s synth pop feel. And I think I'm a sucker for that stuff. Like, give me all of the 80s synth pop. I'm glad that it's been a thing for the last 10-ish years now. Like,
but it's so big this year.
Yes, oh yes. Gosh. So to your point, Lars, about some of the songs feeling more generic, I guess, or more aimed at top 40, I think this song could live comfortably on the top 40, maybe. But I also think that this kind of rises above that. It feels as though this is her working like at her peak for me. So yeah, I love Far Away. And then I also just want to shout out the more disco-inflected tracks. I was kind of hoping when she was leaking some of these songs that she was going to head a little bit more disco and we'd have sort of, we had Beyonce and now we're going to have Carly going full disco. She doesn't go full disco, but the songs that she did go kind of disco-y on, like So Nice and Shooting Star, where she's working with a vocoder and it's in like this high-pitched vocoder and feels like something that she could have made with like Chromeo or it had that feel.
The XCX has rubbed off on her a little bit, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So I like those songs, and I like the fact that they feel as if I could be at a roller disco and I'd be skating to them right along. So those are some of my highlights for me.
All right. How about you, Lars?
Well, let's talk about Ben's, because that was also the song. It was an album cut that I found myself extremely drawn to when I was trying to figure out how I felt about this record, because sometimes when I haven't made up my mind about a big pop album, I like to go for the smaller moments, the quieter moments, to see how the songwriting pans out. And Ben's is that. It's muted in a way that still draws you in. Its production is soft and light, and it does the thing that Carly does so well, but with a different lyrical theme. She, like I said earlier, she knows how to capture an emotion without like flashing it in front of your face. So she has this lyric, all the clouds have dried. Here's a jar of tears I've cried. I'm like, when I say it out loud, I cringe like a little bit. I can see like the smiles coming up on your face. It's like,
I mean, that's most pop lyrics, yes. Though, like sound ridiculous if you recite them like slam poetry, but like if you actually sing them.
But like she has this like uncanny ability to make lyrics like that feel meaningful, and the way she sings them meaningful. And the thing that I appreciate about Ben's is that I can imagine myself late night in a car, in the subway, big headphones on, feeling sorry for myself, and like kind of drifting away to this song. This is part of like what she has talked about a little bit, that The Loneliest Time is about her reflecting on the past 2 years and the pandemic and like really coming to terms with like not being on tour at the time and reassessing how she spends her time. And here's a song that does that, but doesn't say it. Like, we receive the mood and we are in the mood with her. And that is the Carly Rae Jepsen that I fell in love with.
Well, I think you guys have picked some excellent highlights from this record. And I think it speaks well to this record that we've already named a bunch of songs, and I'm about to name a couple more. I'm really surprised that neither of you guys have really brought up the main singles from this record. Western Wind was the first song that dropped from it, and it is like full Rosé wave.
Yes.
Like very sleek, breezy, summery, kind of mid-tempo pop
it's
song.
It's the wide brim hat.
It's such a wide brim hat of a yes. song. And Beach House is the I know Lars and I disagree about Beach House, and I think Aisha, you're kind of middling on it.
I, Stephen, you and I also disagree. I like a little bit of the tongue-in-cheek stuff, but it just doesn't hit for me. Like it feels like it should be soundtracking a like F-Boy Island or something. Like that's what it feels like to me.
I mean, the video is basically channeling that.
Yeah.
And I do yes. think for the complete Beach House experience, watch the video, which I found very charming and funny. But I think it's interesting when I talk about my highlights from this record, the fact that I gravitate to the singles isn't necessarily a suggestion that the singles are the strongest tracks on the record. They're the ones I've lived with the longest. Mm-hmm. And the fact that each of these songs has already aged well for me is an indication that the rest of the stuff, including the stuff kind of near the back half of the record that I'm a little more lukewarm on, is going to kind of get its hooks in me over time. And I think that's one of her real strengths as a songwriter. And I'm sorry, I think Beach House is a jam. Let's hear all of Beach House in its entirety right now. I'm sorry. That song slaps.
I don't know. It's giving me, I'm shopping in American Eagle right now. That's what it even though it's not a song that I return to much, I still appreciate it. I don't think it's a terrible song. I just know what Carly can do. It was not firing on all cylinders for me.
Historically, for whatever reason, the first one or two singles from Emotion and Dedicated and the Side B records have always kind of made me go, huh, I don't know about this one. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about I Really Like You. That was the first single.
Yeah.
And you listen to Emotion, I was like, why was that the first single? There are so clearly some, like, such incredible songs on this record. But then, like Steven says, you come back to it and the hooks come into you. And, like, Beach House, the front half of that chorus is fantastic. But then the Beach House in Malibu and I'm Probably Gonna Hurt Your Feelings.
Or I'm Probably Gonna Harvest Your Organs.
Well, it worked for me. I guess my last question is sort of, where do you want her to go from here? Like, this record has themes of loneliness and fueled by the pandemic-iness that we talk about with so many big pop records right now. But, like, do you see a direction you want to see her going?
The thing about Carly is that she is often correctly painted as kind of like this artist who works in escapism. But escapism is always rooted in the pain or the angst or the feeling that you are trying to run away from. And here's Carly Rae Jepsen on the loneliest time confronting that loneliness, that anger, that terrible group of men on dating apps. And, you know, she is trying to find the space between thinking seriously and deeply about these things, but also being really campy in a way that I haven't seen her before. So it's like there are two sides of Carly on this record, and it doesn't seem like she quite figured out which one she wants to be, and that's okay, because that's kind of like what I've always enjoyed about her. I just feel it more acutely this time. And so, I don't know. Carly, do your thing.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah, you're here.
I think we can all agree. And this is actually a really important point. I want my favorite artists to be happy. Like, the whole thing of like, oh, I want them to suffer a devastating breakup so they can write an album about it. No. I want them to be thrilled and write songs about being thrilled, and I will adjust my life accordingly. That is what I want for Carly Rae Jepsen and for so many good-hearted people in the world. Keep doing it. I will keep listening.
I also hope she is able to find some peace in her relationship with California and LA, because I feel like she has, she's had a very kind of love-hate relationship with California. She's had several songs like LA Hallucinations, Now I Don't Hate California Anymore, and now we have like Western Winds and Joshua Tree. So I'm just like, I hope you're happy in California.
Well, as long as she's happy. We want to know what you think about The Loneliest Time. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks to you, Aisha Harris and Lars Gottrich, for being here.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you. I can talk about Carly Rae Jepsen forever. We're going to keep talking after this, right?
Oh, yeah. I have more things to share.
Okay, good.
We're just going to stop rolling. And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. This episode was produced by Chloe Weiner and edited by Ramel Wood and Jessica Reedy. Hello, Come In provides our theme music. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about Taylor Swift's new album, Midnights.